Megillas Eicha is a very hard sefer. The third parak is the hardest. Ani agever ra'ani v'sheva devrosa. I am the man who has seen affliction by the rod of his anger. V'sheva devrosa. I see nag v'yerlech chayshach le'ar. Hashem has led me and walked me in darkness, not light. When you look at these words, you can't help it. Notice, there's no question that the Navi wanted us to think about this in his world of Ruach HaKodesh. Because David HaMelech said, Gam Kelev Yetz Amovis, Lo Yer Akiach Deimad. So I'm just a hatech. It's the opposite. What David HaMelech is saying, that even though I'm in a place of darkness, I'm not afraid because Hashem, I know you're with me. And Shiftu Mishantecha, hey, Minachamuni, not Minachamuni, and your shevet, your rod, your staff gives me strength and comfort. And here it's Ibn Ahafaychu. Ani Agev Ron, Ibn Shevet Evrosa. Here it's Hashem's. And the whole parak, you look at the whole parak Gimel, the Kivyochel Hashem's Baruch has become the one who is hurting, the one who is endangering us. It's just the opposite. The Navi is Hashem who is Malavas, who's going with us. Just like the Malach is saying, Ki Ati Madi. But now it's not that Hashem is taking us through the gates of and giving us chizik and watching over us, but Hashem is the one who's leading us into the gates of, who's taking us into the gates of, who's taking us into the darkness. That's what it says in Pasuk. Oh, you see, not by David Melch, Hashem is leading David Melch out of the darkness. And here the Navi is saying, you're the one who's leading us into the darkness. Oh, you see, not chayshav v'le'or. And the shevet here is the shevet of Roso, the rod of Hashem's anger. That's shivtucho mishantecha, hey minachemu.
Talmud is talking about our being afraid.
And Hashem is watching over and will take us through that difficult, frightening time. And here Hashem is the one himself who is leading us into that. The one who was himself the cause of our fear. And the whole parak, it's terrible. Ki ezak v'ashaveh asasam tefilos. And I cry out to you, I scream to you, and my tefilos are closed, are shut. You turn away from them. And it goes on until the ultimate yayush. The Navi expresses on our behalf the ultimate yayush. I've come to the point why I've lost all hope. I can't endure. I've lost all hope. Hakol avud. Everything is lost. Everything is fafalm. Hashem, you have made me dwell, you have made me live in darkness, like those who are dead and are buried and left forever in the grave. That's Paragimel. So that really, that should be the end of the whole story. There's nothing else. Everything is lost. There's no hope. Okay, but it's a long time since then, and we're here. And not only that, but the Megillah goes on itself another two prokem, and we have Bez Hashem Shabbos Nachamu Tu B'Av, Baruch Hashem, my calendar, the Chasnas Chas Hashem, the end of the English month. Not one Bli Ein Hara, almost every night two Chasnas. We have a lot to look forward to. Something happens in Perek Gimel.
all of a sudden, it's the strangest thing. All of a sudden, like he's in the grave, the Navi meaning it's us, in the grave, he may say Olam. Done. Suddenly, Zois Oshiv Elibi. This is Gvaldik. Suddenly, the Navi says, Zois Oshiv Elibi. This I will take to heart. Alkein Ochil. And because of this, I will continue to have hope. Alkein Ochil. Chazde Hashem ki lo yisamnu. Chazde Hashem, the kindness, the love of Hashem ki lo yisamnu is never ending. Ki lo yicholu rachamav. His rachamim doesn't end until finally toiv v'yochel v'dumam l'shuas Hashem. Hashem is good to all those who wait for Him. To those who seek Him. So this is an unbelievable, complete emotional reversal. From the mamakim mamishim, the absolute depths of yeyush, of despair. The Navi, the Jewish people, somehow hope again, optimistic, wants to go on with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Al Kain, Oichel Loi, hope in Hashem. So despite all the terrible Yisurim, and here the Navi doesn't hide the truth, the terrible Yisurim, Kivyochel, in all due respect, you're the one who's responsible for them. Human beings have free choice, but you could prevent all of this from happening. And the Shevet the Navi identifies, the rod that's beating us up, is Shevet Evrosov. The Nazi's holding it. The Ishmaeli is holding it. The Roman is holding it. But it's Shevet Evrosov. Eventually, it's your Shevet. Shivtucha Mishantucha is Shevet Evrosov. The same owner. The same balabas. And all of a sudden, after all of this truth, because Hashem wants us, as we've been talking about the whole day, Hashem wants us to be truthful and honest. So after all of this, all of this misery that he attributes to Hashem, Shevet Evrasai, he says, I want to reconcile. I want to start again. I want to come back. And for the first time in the Perek, he actually speaks to Hashem, not about Hashem. The whole Perek is about Hashem. Not good stuff. The whole Perek is about Hashem. All of a sudden, Rabba Emunasech. All of a sudden he speaks to Hashem. To Hashem. He's looking Hashem in the eyes. Until this point, it's as if the Navi and the Jewish people have walked away. Ovad Nitzchi v'schachalti mi'Hashem. I'm finished. I'm done. And we turn our backs and are walking away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The lion who pounces on me. The bear that ambushes me. The whole parak. And we're walking away. Or as people say these days, I don't need this. I didn't sign up for this. All the Lashonis. Not looking at Hashem and not wanting to look at Hashem. Al Zois, no, Zois Oshev Elibi. However, I took this to heart. And all of a sudden, the Navi turns around. That's us. The Navi turns around and says, Rabba Emunasecha. I'm in. I'm back. Great is your faithfulness. Rabba Emunasecha. and he begins to turn within himself. And this is what we do. After all of this, we come to Elul and Rosh Hashanah. And he turns into himself, recognizing the Navi speaks about his own shortcomings, his own sins, which means, again, Yerushalayim, the Jewish people, look within ourselves. We blame ourselves. We accept responsibility for our behavior. And Chazda Hashem Kiloy Sam. Until finally, Kiloy Yiznach La'olam Hashem. Kiloy Yiznach La'olam Hashem. Hashem will not reject me forever. Kiloy Yiznach La'olam Hashem. And even when he causes grief, he has compassion out of his great kindness. This is the strangest thing in the world, this parrot. And the big mystery, the big question is, what changed? Like, what caused this? Because the Navi does say one word. And obviously this word is the key to understanding the mystery of how the Navi came back to Hashem, of how Am Yisrael returned to Hashem, of how after all the things that have happened to us in history, as a people and individuals, not everybody has successfully turned around. But even our greatest enemies don't understand why we're still in it. So there's something that we have. And the mystery of what is it that we have, and what gives us that ability to get up from the shiva of Tisha B'Av, to come to Tu B'Av, El Rosh Hashanah, is all in one word. Because it says, Zos Ashiv Elibi. So the question is, what is the Zos? This I take to heart. What is this? Zos Ashiv Elibi. Doesn't say what this is. But if we know what this is, and we do know what it is, once we know what this is, then you and I will be able also to get up and go on with Dalit and Hay and continue on making simchas. So let's learn the Medrash. The Medrash says very, very clearly what it is. The Medrash identifies the mysterious Zos. Zos Oshiv Elibi Al Kein Ochil. It's because of this Zos, I have hope. I'm going to stick with it. And this Zos we have to give over to our kids, to our grandchildren. This Zos we have to give over to every Jew that we meet in our lives. This is it. So here's the Medrash. Marshal Mahadavadaimah. Lamelech Shanasa Matroina. To what can this be compared? A king marries a girl, because of Loksuba Maruba. And he writes a big suva. A big suva for this queen that he chose. Va'amalach kach v'kach ani oisalach. And the Medrash goes on, kach v'kach. In the Ksubi, he writes all kinds of gewaldige things, how much he's giving to her in the marriage. And the Medrash goes on, hinicha ha-melech v'holach lalim dinis hayam. The king left her. Sounds like pretty soon after the chasana. The king leaves her and goes to Medina Sayam, someplace overseas. The Ichasha. He was there for a long time. He was gone. Nichnasu shchenayseha etzla. Her neighbors came to see her. Bahu maknita is. And they were stalking her. They were mocking her. Va'aymasla, you understand they're very jealous. She's the queen. The king didn't pick any of them. So they say they would say to her, the king has left you and he's gone to the Medina Sayyam. Shuv ein chayzer elayich. And he's never coming back. I'm not saying all of them skipping. But the things that they would say to her. And haisa boichu misaneches. You know, after a while it got to her. Sof kasof. You know, there was no texting or emailing or anything like that. She didn't hear from the king. And sof kasof. So she was crying. Boichu misaneches. The cave in Shenichnas Silatoich Beisa. So it was one particularly horrible day, and she went into the house, into the palace, wherever. She opened the drawer and she took out a ksuva. The kores veroy b'ksuvasa kach v'kach ani oisala. And he read, and she was reading the ksuva kach, where it was written all these fantastic things, kach v'kach ani oisala, that I'm giving you. Miad haisa misnachemes. She would be misnachemish, she would be consoled. She would continue on being faithful and waiting. L'yomim b'hamelech, finally the king returned. Amalah, and he said to Biti, my daughter means my beloved, Anitameya, I am shocked. Eichim tamtli kol oisin hashanim. How were you able to wait for me all of these years? How did you do that? Amrloi, Adoni Hamelach ilmolek suva meruba shekasavta v'nasatli kvar avduni shchenoisa. If not for the unbelievable ksuva that you wrote for me, if not for that ksuva that I was able to take out and to look at and to remember, my neighbors would have long ago destroyed me. And here Chazal don't leave this up to our imagination. Here Chazal tells us the Nimshal. Kach ha'umais moinin es Yisrael. The nations of the world, makas, shtachas, v'ayim lahem, and say to the Jewish people, elakechem histir panav mikem. Your God has turned away from you. V'silei shchinasem ikem, and he's taken the shchina away from you. V'oid einei chayzer aleichem, and he's never ever returning to you. V'ayu boichenu misanchem. V'ayu boichenu misanchem. Crying. Boichen misanch. The kevin shenichnosen lebat teknisis, lebat midrashes. The kevin shenichnosen, so we're crying because sof, he's gone for a long time. And we haven't heard from him and we haven't seen him. And over time, what they're saying, the nations, our neighbors, who have never gotten over the fact that we were chosen by the king, who have never forgotten Har Sinai and the Sina, Shiyadu La'olam, the hatred that came from that chuppah of Sinai. So it was getting to us, it gets to us, in the individuals, there were Jews that left.
But the Kevin Shenichnos and Levat Knesias and Levat Medrashas, but wherever we were during these long years of waiting, wherever we are, we had these places to go into, to the Bate Knesias, to our shuls and to our Bate Medrashas, the Kurim B'Torah, and we would take out the Torah, Svarim, the Torah and Svarim we would read, and we would learn Shekosuv, Ufanisya Aleichem, where we would read the Torah, but then we would read Ufanisya Aleichem, but I'm going to come back to you. I'm going to come back, I'm going to turn back to you, I'm going to return to you. And I'm going to, this is the Ksuba, and I'm going to make you greater than ever before. And I'm going to live with you again, the Shekhinah is going to be with you again. And I'm never going to leave you, and we're going to be together forever. Not everybody. But for Hey Miss Nachamim, Nechama. That's the Ksuba. Lemocha, tomorrow, it should be tomorrow. Kishiyova Keitza Gulun Mashiach comes. Oymel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to say to us, Bonai, my children, Ani Tameh Mikem, I'm astonished. How did you wait for me all of these years? It's us. The Sheiris HaPleita. How did you wait for me? How did you keep on doing all of that? How did you get up? How do you keep on teaching your kids that it's Kedai? How did you remain faithful? Kalois and Hashan. We're having a big trip with the Chevra. Simuch, I want to wake you up. We're having a big trip with the Chevra after Yontiv, and we're going to Edom. And the whole Malchus of Edom, that whole place, the whole Malchus of Edom, its paintings, its churches, its galochim, its pizza shops, whatever's there, I was never there. I'll have more to say about the place when we get there, Mr. Shem. The entire Metzius of that place, of Edom, is the Shechina, the neighbor, and every single piece of art is a shtach, an attempted shtach. The New Testament, and those who killed God have been rejected by God, killed the Son of God, are rejected by God, and he's left Jerusalem forever, and he lives in Rome. So Hashem's going to say, Eichem tamtim li kol ois nashon. How did you wait for me all this? And we're going to say Tashem Esbar. We're going to be sitting there. Each one of us is going to be sitting there with our Gemaras and our Chumashim and with our Kedushas Levis and Mesil Sharms. We're going to be sitting there. And we're going to say, Rabbanu Shalom, Ul Ilulei Teiras Cheshenesat Elanu. If not, for the Ksuba Meruba, if not for the Ksuba, if not for the Torah that you've given us, Kvar Avdunu Ha'umais, our enemies would have already destroyed us. And even if physically they weren't capable of guessing enough of us, they couldn't get around to it. They were stopped before they finished the job. But what would be the reason for the Sheiris HaPleita after all the guessing took place? What would be the incentive to get up and start again? A few years ago, we spoke about the shasim that were printed in the DP camps. The shas was printed in the DP camps. My father, Zichron Levracha, remembers the Klozenberger Rebbe running around with svarim that he was able to get. It was a whole mice with the Klosenberg. It was up to a lot of interesting trips. And he was bringing back things and setting up chevruses. And he had a yeshiva that he started there called Sheres HaPlaita. There are pictures of skeletons sitting with Gemaras. I ben shalom ilulei teras shushin esat the Lord who cry of Duno Haumais. If not for the Torah that you gave us, if not the Torah that you've given us, we would have been destroyed. Even if they couldn't have finished the job, whether it was in Spain or Spain, Portugal, whether it was in Poland, whether it was wherever. The aftershock, the hopelessness. I was talking to Shabbos a few weeks ago in the mountains, the Rechever there, that the Chusterov, Shusin Leinu, Reb Sheila Greenwald, my father, Zechron Levracha, knew very well. My father would go Yom Taifim, would go Yom Derayim to Borough Park to hear Reb Sheila Greenwald daven for the Omid. My father said it was never about tefillah ever like a pshia, like the chisteruv, the chusterov. And then he said he lost everything, and after the Muhammad, he says in Pasuk, Vayhi achre amageifa. And he asked, why does it say Vayhi? Vayhi, the Gemara says, not the Gemara, Chazal say, that Vayhi is a Lashon Tzar, right? Lashon Tzar. Vayhi is always something bad. Vayhi b'machashverish. Vayhi is good. Vayhi is bad. So it says, Vayhi achre magefa is good. No, the magefa is finished. So Chustarov said, Vayhi, the war is over. So what's Vayhi? Vayhi is a lashon of tzar, of tzara. Because the Chustarov said, what do we do now? During the time of Nulcham, we were trying to hide and this and survive. But now, like my father told me, my mother told me, they went back to their homes, to their hometowns, and there's nothing. Everything's gone. There's nothing. There's no one. Vayhi achre magefa. So what gave us all of these years? Mashiach is going to ask us. The Baruch Hu is going to ask us. So how did you go on after the magefa? We're not talking about COVID now, you understand? How did you go on after Vayhi achre magefa? Ilois taros chushin esat alonu kvar avdunu ha'umais l'kach nemar v'zois oshev alibi. So now we know the mystery of the word zois. Zois oshev alibi, this I took to heart. And the Medrash says, ein zois ela taira, shenemar v'zois ha'taira. Think about the next time by Hagba. Zois ha'taira. Kach David Omar. Lulei saros l'shashuai ozavadati ba'onyi. Al kain ochil. That's zois oshev alibi. And that's what the Chustarov turned back to, and the Klosenberger, and my parents, and many of your parents or grandparents, or great-grandparents, about the Knesias. They built with their own hands again about the Knesias and about the Midrashas, places to learn, places to daven. It's so ironic. I'm back at that, it's back that time before September. And I'm on the phone every day because there are doors that are closed in many yeshivas. They're not letting Jews into the yeshivas. The kids that are thrown out of yeshivas. And those survivors built yeshivas. knowing the secret of Zeis Oshev Elibi. But Yirmi HaNavi was speaking on behalf of all of Am Yisrael and saying, it's it, Ovad Nitzchi V'Sikvasi V'Sochalti Me'Hashem, I'm done. We have a zeich to hear Sheiris HaPlaita learning. We have a zeich to hear Jews who are survivors learning. You have a zeich to hear Ahavas HaTorah. Now we're worried about our kids. They don't want to go learn. They don't want to go back to school. We got kids, the yeshivas don't want them back, and then the kids don't want the yeshiva back. It's a good shidduch. No, the problem is it's usually the different kid. It's not the same kid. This one, the yeshiva's throwing the kid out. This one, the kid's throwing the yeshiva out. Many times I've mentioned here the sweetest, sweetest sound. My father, Zechon Levracha, and his old chavrusa for 80 years, Binyamin Yumi. And the two of them sitting on the balcony, on the porch there, on Collins Avenue in Miami. After Muhammad, they stayed together. And sitting there on the balcony, and the two of them learning. If you ask them, they'll tell you. And the song, the simcha of their learning, every word. And yelling at each other. You're still in Amaretz. You're so old. You're still in Amaretz. I remember the words. You're in Amaretz. You're in Amaretz 80 years ago. In Amaretz. That's the ksuba. That's the ksuba. Somehow, we take out that gemara. We take out the ksuba. Back then when this all started, let's talk Sivish and Uns, you know, between us. Back then when this whole thing started, you know, Har Sinai, truthfully, nobody really wanted you except for me. You want yourself around, you said to you went to this one, you want it. You went to the Italians, you asked them, do you want it? You went to the Arabs, you want it? What would to be the Italians and the Arabs? You want it? And then nobody wanted you. And here we are, the old Amaratzim who were saying, we said what back then? Nasev and Nishma. You know, Rabbi Eliezer was Rabbi Akiva's Rebbe, one of his rebellion. And, you know, they weren't able to learn together for a long time. They weren't together because Rabbi Eliezer was a menuda, the whole ma'isa. And before Rabbi Eliezer died, he revealed to Rabbi Akiva that Rabbi Akiva was going to die a misa kasha, mishunadika misa. He told Rabbi Akiva that he was going to die a terrible death. This is what happened to Rabbi Akiva. So Chazal tells Rabbi Akiva, cried out, Rebbe, Oilef li Araisa. Rebbe, it's been such a long time since we learned together. Oilef li Araisa. Can we learn? I always thought about that. If it had been me in that matzav, I would have said, first of all, I would have said, how do you know that? And maybe it won't be. And is there somebody, you know, that can stop this from happening, whatever. Or at least if it's, I would have said, then Rebbe, daven for me. Rebbe Lezer was about to die, and you're telling me such a thing that I'm going to die myself, a Misa Mishuna, so then daven for me. I was always thinking about this. Rebbe Kiva said, Oilev li Araisa, Rebbe, you're going to die soon. One more k'tzais. One more Rebbe Kivega. One more Tosfos, one more Blat Gemara. One more hour sitting next to your Rebbe with the Ksuba and learning this Ksuba with you together. Looking at this Ksuba, learning this Ksuba together with you, this Zois HaTorah, this Lulei Sarascha. So we're about to say Shalis Ufav Eish. It was a Friday in Erev Shabbos. Erev Shabbos, Zois Chukas HaTorah. Good. It's an old minhag. There was a Tanis. Sorry, without going through the whole history of this, I'm sure in the Kinas it says the whole story behind it. It was an Erev Shabbos in Paris. Last time we made a stopover in Paris, I don't know if we got stuck in Paris for a little extra time. But it was an Erev Shabbos. I think the English year is 1244. And there were over 20 cartloads, big cartloads of shasim. These were not printed. This is before there was printing. So we're talking about cartloads of shasim kisvei yad, handwritten gemaras, handwritten shasim. That was set on fire. The French are also fine schmeckers, you understand. And it was set on fire. I'm sure it was a very nice place there in Paris. And this kina that we're going to read in a few minutes was composed by the Marami Rutenberg, who was a Talmud of Rabbi Chil from Paris, from Paris. With Rishoyim, we're trying to burn the Ksuba. It's an insanity, but it's not insane. It was in Germany. They went crazy. Even at the end of the war, where they needed every single available Russia to be on the front. And they were still busy doing all they could to get rid of Svar. To destroy Svar. The whole way that the Eish Kodesh, that the Ksavim from the Pizetzna were found underneath the Warsaw Ghetto with its whole Pilei Ployim, everything that happened over there and everywhere. How desperate our enemies were always to destroy our shuls, destroy our yeshivas, to destroy our libraries, to kill the Reish Yeshiva, to kill the Rebbes, to burn our ksuba. So let me share with you a story. It's a story that was told by the Rav of Belgium, of Antwerp, Rav Aaron Schiff, is a big Talmud Chacham. And he heard this from an old woman, from the woman herself. Krakow, 1939, is the wrong place to be. We were there also on a trip. But when we were there, they were playing violins in the square. And there are kosher restaurants, you know, in Krakow. Heimische Schritte. There are always Heimische Schrittes in Krakow for many, many years. The Heimische Schritte. 1939, Krakow was the wrong place to be. So this girl was here. She was, I don't know how old, I think 13, 14, something like that. And her parents paid some neighbors, Schenen, some nice Polish neighbors, paid them to hide their daughter. She was there with them for a short time. She was not treated well at all. And then when the news came back to them, because they did get the news, and when the Polish heard that the parents and the rest of the Jews from Krakow were done, So they made her life particularly miserable because they weren't going to get any more money for this. Until finally she had no choice and she left. It didn't take long. She was trying to hide and the Gestapo found her. And she ended up in this camp and that camp. All the good places. Somehow she survived. And after she was finished, she ended up in Antwerp. She didn't want to hear anything about Yiddishkeit. She was done. Like in Perek Gimel and Eicha. V'machashakim ha'yishivani, I'm finished. Ovad, nitzchi v'sachalti mi'asha. We're finished. But she married a Jew. Not because she was interested in marrying a Jew. It just happened that they understood each other. He also didn't want anything to do with the Yiddishkeit. So they had a lot in common. Another survivor. And 10 years or so, it was already 10 years after Muhammad, they were married. And they were living over there in Antwerp. And all of a sudden, she had this idea that she wanted to go see her hometown. She wanted to visit Krakow. He didn't want to go. She was in a certain way homesick to see maybe she could find where she was born. She wanted to go back to Krakow. So they went to Krakow. And they were in the market, Labadik, market day, and a lot of things going on. And all of a sudden, she's with her husband. All of a sudden, she screams out. And he doesn't know, and she's fainting. He holds her. What happened? What is it? What is it? She can't come to herself. And she's pulling him, and she says, look at this, look at this. And he says, what? So there was a Polak, a guy, that had a table with all kinds of little toys and things, tchotchkele. And he said, so what? So she goes over there, and she's moving some of the toys aside. And it's the inlaid under the glass. There was a glass on top, and there was a table cover. And the cover of the table was the bindings of Gemaras. Somehow this guy, he wanted to make a strong, it was a thick, thick covers, and he wanted to make something over there for his table, and he made this table knocking in the covers from the Gemaras. So she starts to scream at Osmond, do you see what these are? He says, I know what they are, so what? She says, these are Gemaras. He says, I know they're Gemaras, so what? What do you think you're going to find over here? She says, you don't understand. You don't know what I'm talking about. And she shows him, these are my father's Gemaras. These are her father's Gemaras. He had a stempel on the binding. And now, these are her father's Gemaras. These are my father's Gemaras. And she starts to yell at the guy, that these are my father's Gemaras. These are my father's books. These are my father's books. They're not yours. My father's books. And he's about to call the police. You're crazy. Get out of here. And then the husband says, stop. Let's buy the table from him. So she says, okay, I want to buy the table. So he says, you can only buy the table if you buy all the toys that are on the table also. So the husband says, what is it that gives the money? And then the two of them are carrying this table through the street there in Krakow to get to the hotel. they get to the hotel. Somehow he gets a tool there, he knocks off the legs, and he carries the tabletop upstairs to the room. Anziman, she's crying, she can't come to herself. She says to him, you have to take apart the table and to take out the Gemara, the covers. So he's knocking and pulling out and opening it up and getting out. And she says, don't tear. Be careful not to tear it. Don't tear it. It's my father's Gemaras. Don't tear them. There are no Gemaras. It's the covers. Don't tear it. Don't tear it. So he does that for her and he takes out all of them. And he says, I really think you're getting carried away. I understand you. You had this nostalgia. We'll pack them up. We'll bring them back to Antwerp. But you really, really, she couldn't come to herself. And she didn't the whole night. He's trying to sleep, and she's sitting by the. She's sitting over there, holding these bindings. Comes to the morning. She says, "I want to talk to you. There's something that I need to do. I have to explain to you something." And he says again, "Really, it's just." They're just books. We gave this stuff all up a long time ago. Please don't get carried away. And she says, I want to tell you something. You never knew my father. My father was the kindest, gentlest person in the world. And we were so poor, we didn't know any day if we were going to have a crumb to eat. And my father had a miserable, backbreaking job in some factory where they treated him, the anti-Semites treated him like dirt. And he would come home at night, filthy from what he was doing during the day. And sometimes he had some bread, sometimes he didn't have some bread. And when he had, it wasn't enough, he would give to myself, to my brother, and to my mother. And many times he didn't have for himself. But I'll tell you what I remember. I remember that my father would sit down at the table and we were licking these crumbs and he didn't have anything. And he would open up these Gemaras. And she started to say, Plig Abaye, Rabbi Plig. She was starting to say things that she remembered. Ebshimon, Reb Meir. Ebyochan, Reish Lakish. And when my father was there with those Gemaras, he was the happiest person in the world. There was nothing else. The anti-Semites didn't get to him. The poverty didn't get to him. The hunger didn't get to him. Everything was Abaye and Rava. Everything was Rashi Tosfos. So she said, I made a decision that when we get back to Antwerp, they have two boys. When we get back to Antwerp, we're taking our boys out of the public school and we're putting them into cheder. He said, are you crazy? Okay, I bought the table and the toys. I took apart the table. I gave you back your father's Gemaras. This is really crazy. So she said, I'm not going on unless you promise me that we're going to put our two boys into cheder, because I don't know what life is going to bring them, but I want that when they come home, whatever it is in their lives, they're going to have this to open up. Zois hatar. Zois oshiva libi. Zois shkach. Zois oshiva libi. Zois hatar. Lulei sarasu shashuai azavarti ba'an. And Rav Aaron Schiff, the Rav of Antwerp, said that he was a good guy, you know, and he did. And he heard this from this old lady. He said, all of her Eniklach, all of her, the children of Eniklach, the ear Eniklach, the all Shermit Torah Mitzvahs, the all learning Torah, many Talmid Chachamim. She said that my father ever dreamed that when we were sitting there with a piece of bread and he was starving, and he was smiling, saying over a black Gemara, and looking inside these Gemaras, did he ever dream that from that he was going to have children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, to greet Mashiach with the same Gemaras? This Kina Shali Shufa Behesh, is the story of how our enemies throughout time have tried to stop that from happening. They were not successful, they never will be. Zayis Asher Libi, and we'll continue to sing Lulei Saraso Shashuai, to greet Mashiach with the same Svarim, and with Hashem saying, you waited for me, and we say we waited to you because of this. Shal Yisruf HaBeish.